Mark My Words shares Mark Homer's contrarian views on investing, business, finance, economics, and all things money. Mark interviews the world's most successful business, finance, and money experts, as well as imparting his knowledge in a factual, direct, and no-nonsense manner. Welcome to Mark My Words, and here is your host, Mark Homer.
Hi, it's Rob Moore here, and I'm here with my business partner, Mark Homer, and this is the final video in the series. I feel like we've been doing this almost all through lockdown, the How to Invest series. Now, this is the finale, because this is how to invest with no money, or little money, or low money down, or none of your own money down, depending on how you define it, because I think all those definitions are slightly different. So we're going to talk about that now. How can you get into property and business, and how can you build up a pot of cash and create some income with little or no of your own money down? But before that, we've been running this series predominantly on our YouTube channel, which is tiny.cc/PPTV, all capitals. Felicity, could you put it in the comments? It's tiny.cc/PPTV, all capitals. The PP and TV are all capitals. That's it. And we've done how to invest $5,000, how to invest $10,000, how to invest $25,000, how to invest $50,000, how to invest $100,000, how to invest $250,000, and how to invest $500,000, all for the best return. We've covered property and business. We've covered marketing and cars and watches and the stock market and all different strategies of getting the best return on your money. But this one, the final one in the series, is how to invest with little or no money. So, Mark, let's start with property. How can you get into property without deposits?
Okay, so you might look for a property or a property deal and exchange for delay completion. So you may agree a deal with an owner, maybe you exchange contracts, and then you complete in 10 years' time. So you get a ride on the capital growth, the differential between what you pay them and what you take in rent. So you might rent it out as a HMO. Potentially. That's one way. You could do a rent to rent where you lease it with an option to purchase. That's a sort of similar outcome, but maybe a different legal instrument to do that. So you lease it and then you may sort of lease it on, rent it on, you know, maybe HMO it, or maybe you could turn it into a serviced accommodation type unit where you rent by the night and you take the differential there. So you trade. You buy it in at wholesale and you sell it out of retail. So there's something there to do. I think, you know, the big sort of area that lots of people use to start is within a JV, a joint venture, where they bring somebody in who's got the money, you've got the experience, you put the two things together, and there's some lovely benefits there. You know, if you're willing to put sweat equity into something, you know, you're starting this property business, maybe somebody who's older, maybe they haven't got time, maybe they've got more cash. You know, that's a marriage made in heaven, can be. And, you know, I think sort of, you know, starting your property business without any money or with not very much money and giving your time, maybe even you're working with someone who is more experienced. You know, when I started out, I worked for a guy for a little bit and I got more sort of property knowledge beforehand. I think that's another route in. You know, if you go into somebody else's property business and maybe you work for not a lot of money, maybe you become an estate agent, maybe you become a letting agent, or you get into the property game with a developer or a builder, I think there's a lot of sort of mileage in doing so.
So actually, we did a couple of those. Well, we did all of those, but we did a couple of those in a more prolific fashion. So when I started, this was 2006, we met at the end, and we bought quite a few properties together in 2007. Now, I didn't have any deposits at the time, so we used your funds, or we used your mum's funds or your stepdad's funds, and we moved up from single let to buying our training building. So some people who are starting out, they may say, oh, well, why would anyone want to joint venture with me if I haven't got a huge amount of experience? But you joint ventured with me and I didn't have a huge amount of experience.
So in that scenario, Rob, you brought a load of sort of work, a load of stuff, you know, input, energy. You went and read a load of books and you did a load of stuff that I couldn't. So it was a really good partnership. You you learn how to become a great marketeer, a great salesman, and how to sort of develop the side of the business that I couldn't do. So, you know, those two things came together really, really nicely. And we formed a great partnership through that. So I think that's a great example, you know, to other people. You were also a life coach at the time, and you helped get me exercising. You helped change my mindset and sort of show me how to develop myself with a lot of sort of personal development type programs. You know, and that provided me with a lot of benefit and made me more, you know, wanting or more likely to sort of JV with you. And I think if you can provide value to other people as an individual, however it is, I think you'd be rewarded for that.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because often people think it's either just time, money, or experience. So they think, oh, well, okay, I can put a full or a part-time week in, or I've got the money, or I'm already experienced. They don't realize there's so many ways you can create value, where you can learn areas of the business and manage areas of the business that they don't know or want to manage. And you know, Mark's listed some of those out. I'll give you another example of how we did that. We actually packaged deals, didn't we, Mark, for many years. So what helped us transition from working from our old boss to working together and setting up Progressive Property. Because if we're honest, at that time, we couldn't live off the portfolio we built in year one or two. Okay, we had a good portfolio, and in theory, it brought in a decent amount of income, but there's two of us to live. You've got to pay tax and everything else. You want a good lifestyle. You need to let it mature. So in reality, to live off that portfolio, we'd have had to have built it bigger and waited longer. So what we did was we also started packaging deals to other people. So, you know, we'd sell deals to startup entrepreneur investors. We'd sell deals to people at business networking events. We'd sell deals to people at property networking events. This was way before the Progressive Property community and all the social media groups there are now. So do you think deal packaging is a good way to build up a cash pot?
I think it can be. Clearly, if you're sort of in the property game and you're wanting to get more experience and you're looking at deals all day, you can sort of spot things and you can go, well, with that one, I might do, I don't know, exchange with delay completion or rent to rent. And that one I could buy with a JV investor. And that one, well, it doesn't work for me on a yield basis. I could deal package it. So you've got all these sort of tools in your toolbox and you can apply them to each deal as you go out viewing to make more use of all the properties, all the deals that come towards you.
Mm. So what we've covered so far then is deal packaging, rent to rent, lease options, and joint ventures. So at this point, before we move on to other areas of business, I just want to raise something that is always raised whenever you write the words no money down on any social media post, is though there are those people out there that say, you can't do no money down. It's impossible. I've got my thoughts. Let's both share ours. So what do you say to those people?
Well, you know, it depends how you define no money down. Of course, there are critics and people out there who just want to bash because it's a projection of themselves. That's what they do all day. Yeah. You know, and I could probably name a few individuals that just sit there. It wouldn't matter what you said or sort of what justification you came out with. That's just what they want to do.
Yeah.
So sort of pure no money down. Some people would say, well, that's purchasing a property without a deposit. And sort of pre-credit crunch, you could frequently do that. Those same people would say it was illegal or there'd be some other issue with it. these days, purchasing a property using mortgage without any deposit is very, very difficult. It's not impossible, but it is very difficult. So that sort of word has become, or that term has become looser. Maybe you're exchanging with delay completion. Maybe you're doing some sort of rent to rent, or maybe you are purchasing with a joint venture, not putting any of your money in, and then you're remortgaging afterwards and then providing or you know, returning that money to the joint venture partner. So it might be more like no money left in, or you know, none of your money, you know, other people's money, or whatever. But these are semantics, aren't they? Essentially, you are going into a deal without putting your own money in. And it is over the medium to long term, usually you get control and often ownership of a property.
So I know it's possible because I've done it hundreds of times. So, you know, when people say you can't do no money down, what they mean is they don't want you to do no money down, or they don't know how to do money no money down themselves. That's what they really mean. It is possible. Now, back to those semantics, do you need legal fees? Yes. Do you need valuation fees? Yes. So, of course, there are peripheral costs. Now, those peripheral costs could be rolled into the joint venture deal that you do with the person who's financing the deal. Or if you get a loan, make sure that those peripheral costs are included in the loan. For me, when I term no money down, it would usually be not using your own deposit. So no deposit. But the reason I don't say no deposit down is because that's not technically correct, because the deposit does go down. So if you change the language from no money down to no deposit down, well, actually, when you buy a property, you do put a deposit down. You could say none of your own money. It's just a longer way of saying it. But one thing I really want to say, it's really important to say, is there are a lot of dream stealers out there that are saying, oh, that's illegal. You can't do that. It's impossible to do no money down. There is no such thing as no money down. But actually, they're just using that for their marketing, to get you on their podcast or to get you on their website where they run ads, or to get you on their Facebook group. And then they have their own YouTube channel. Apparently exposing the truth. But in reality, people have been doing low and no money down, or no deposit down, or none of their own money down into property deals for decades. Option agreements, they go way back, way back, you know, 80s, and you know, businesses
earlier.
Earlier businesses are bought with option agreements. So I would not have been able to get started in property if I'd have had to have waited to save the deposit, because that would have taken me far too long, because I wasn't earning much money. I was in debt. So I needed to accelerate that process by partnering with someone who's already got the money and the experience and making sure that I can find areas of value. So like Mark said, we actually set up a deal sourcing company. And so Mark would acquire the properties and finance the properties and manage the refurb and, you know, the finance. And I would attract the clients and build the website and, you know, build the marketing and the sort of, you know, the collateral that we use to promote, to sell deals and build the network. So we had a joint venture of equal value, but your value doesn't have to be the cash. I mean, if two of you are doing the same thing in a joint venture, then one of you isn't needed. So if you haven't got the deposits, then you put in other value, the sweat equity, the effort, you know, the sales, the marketing, the client acquisition, the building the network, et cetera. So look, we don't need to go into loads of depth in rent to rent.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
Installment contracts and joint ventures and the other strategies we've discussed, because we talk about them a lot in the progressive property community. And we have the book No Money Down Property, where you can learn all of those strategies. And we have the Progressive Property Podcast, and we're regularly in the Progressive Property community on Facebook and on the Progressive Property YouTube channel, regularly giving you strategies and tactics on the how-to of low and no money down investing. So Mark, now let's talk about ways to build income that aren't to do with property. So how would you start a business with low or no money?
Well, I think if you learn how to be a great marketeer and learn how to sell things, you can start a business with a laptop, a computer, a mobile phone, and you can pound the streets and put sweat equity into it. to, you know, become great. And you probably learn off really, really great people. And, you know, I think if you can go and maybe work in a business like that, or, you know, learn off a mentor who has got a business like the one that you want to start, I think that's got to be one of the best ways to get started. I think there are lots of businesses like that that don't require huge amounts of capital and have low barriers to entry. So why not do that and get started?
So if there's anything you know well, better than most people you know, you could create an information business around that. So Mark and I know property well. We know business pretty well now because we've been doing it quite a long time. I know public speaking well and marketing well. So we could create podcasts, books, courses, masterminds and mentorships on those things we know well. And I think that's a very viable strategy for you, because you don't need stock and you don't need, you know, premises. You don't need staff to create an information business around what you know. Now, of course, the critics will say, oh, well, everyone's running courses right now, and people who've been doing it 5 minutes run courses. Well, that doesn't have to be the case. I would always pick something that you know well, better than most. But also remember that every winner was once a beginner and every master was once a disaster. So, you know, we all have to start somewhere. So, for example, sometimes people don't come to Mark and I for property knowledge. We've got hundreds of properties together and in our partnerships. Sometimes people go to someone who's got 10 properties because they want to learn to get their first buy to let. And actually, honestly, you might have it a bit closer to you, and the knowledge might be a bit more relevant to you learning from someone who's got 10 buy to lets on how to buy your first than talking to Mark. Mark's bought hundreds of buy to lets, but it was so long ago because he's buying big commercial deals now. So the point is, you don't have to be someone who's got thousands of properties to build an information business around that. But with social media and the ability to reach customers in what, many different countries instantaneously at the speed of light through fiber optics, Facebook groups, LinkedIn is great, gives you a lot of reach, your own YouTube channel, like the Progressive Property YouTube channel you're probably watching this on, but having your own podcast, for example. Because when Mark and I started, you needed to run newspaper ads, magazine ads, TV ads, radio ads. And then sort of just after that started, Google AdWords came in. There were forums on Google that you could find, but there wasn't the social media, you know, and the access to the huge Facebook groups that there are now. So I really do believe you've got a lot lower barriers to entry and a lot less friction. People are always asking me marketing advice. Oh, Rob, what ad shit are they running? And can you really, you know, build a business or get leads or clients on social media for free? Well, yeah, you can. We've had people that have built their entire business off the back of our own Facebook group just by, you know, giving content and value. If you have a Facebook page and you get a decent amount of followers, you can grow your business from that. Many people make their living just out of LinkedIn. Many people make their living just out of podcasts. Many people make their living just out of a YouTube channel. So definitely leveraging an information-based business or an e-commerce business, but of course you've got product there, with social media, you can start and scale your business low and no money down. And then what you do is, as you start making some money, you start reinvesting that. So it's funny because a lot of people think when they start a business, they need a lump to invest. They're either looking for a loan, or they're looking for a private investor, or they want to give equity away for a lump of money. Mark and I have always thought the opposite. We've never intended to put any money in and start a company. And I don't know how many companies we have now, Mark, but it's a good few. And we've done the opposite, haven't we? We've always thought, well, don't put any money in, start with nothing, bootstrap, be lean, keep the overhead low and make some sales, and then reinvest the cash from the sales into the ads and growing the business. That's your favorite way, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And grow organically. Although, yeah, we bought a couple of businesses and we're trying to buy more at the moment.
Thank but money for them, though.
I really do like sort of getting a business rolling and making it work, because it's a great business and you know how to run it, rather than putting a load of capital in, burning capital, learning how to run the business. You know, and using a load of capital to buy something that's a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
Why not preserve capital and keep sort of testing businesses until you find one that works, and then invest once you've got the model right and you know the thing's actually operating properly. But that could take, you know, some time, could take 6 months, 12 months of actually running it. It's got to be a great fit for you, for your knowledge, for your skills, your experience. You know, and you only know that when you've done it for a while. Why burn a load of money finding that out?
A lot of people, they chuck a load of money into something expecting that the money will give them the return, but you still have to put the sweat in. So why don't you just put the sweat in without the money at first, and build it up? And I think starting lean teaches you good things in business. So, you know, when you have to find clients, one of my clients today messaged me, she's got like 5 days to raise 35 grand and she's raised a few hundred grand already, but she's out of money. She's got 5 days to raise 35 grand. She's going to get some great lessons in the next 5 days raising that 35 grand, whereas someone just went, oh, there's a loan for 35 grand. You kind of rely on the money. Now, I know we'd all love the money, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the reason we're doing this video is because a lot of people don't have the money to start, but they want to get started. And actually, if you look at a lot of great entrepreneurs and millionaires and billionaires, many of them are self-made and many of them do start with little or no money. Yes, there are some that get their dads, you know, they take over the empire. That's fine. It's just a different model. You get different problems there. But I've enjoyed the journey of learning the hustle a bit and learning to raise the capital and not just relying. I think people get lazy, don't they, when they've got money. So, you know, like when people remortgage their house, often they're looser with the spending on remortgage money than if they earned it and saved.
They absolutely are. Yeah.
There's probably some phrase that describes that thought process. But yeah, you know, you kind of earn your right. And you talked, Mark, twice now about working for someone. So, you know, going and working for an estate agent or going and working for a deal packager or going and working for, you know, maybe someone like Progressive who have a training company. And why do you think that's a great way to start and scale a business?
Because that develops your experience and, you know, you get to see, you know, people say to me, oh, well, when you know, you started out, you had a mentor or, you know, you had someone you learned from. And what did they tell you? You know, what are the gems that, you know, and the reality is that everybody who's had a brilliant mentor or someone they've worked with, so it wasn't one or two things. It was a thousand tiny little things that they taught me over the period of several months or years or whatever. And sort of being around somebody like that, who's really clever, you know, who's got really good experience in the type of business you want to be in or in property, you know, just through a process of osmosis, you'll transfer that sort of experience and that knowledge and learn all those thousand tiny little things that you need to retain to become great at it. And then you get the experience, which really embeds it into your psyche.
Yeah.
And it creates new habits.
I'd also add, if we're being technical, I think it's good to work for a fairly small company or maybe at biggest, a medium-sized company. So when Mark and I started, we basically worked for one guy. For a while, it was just me and you who were the staff, wasn't it? Well, actually, for a while, it was just you. And then it was just me and you. And then, do you remember, Rob P came in and then there was one or two others. But the great thing about that is you were flying off to different countries, talking to the developers, weren't you? You were lit. Do you remember we were having to close all the Google Ads leads? I was doing the public speaking. We were literally doing everything. Now, if we work for Virgin, we're never getting that close to the action,
never
are we?
No.
But because we work for a small company, and at the time it used to piss me off, if I'm honest, but I felt our boss was a little bit lazy sometimes, or he would just get us to do everything.
Really?
But actually, looking back, that was really good.
It was great.
The fact that we did everything meant we learned everything.
Yeah.
So Mark learned about, you know, dealing with a developer, dealing with overseas properties, dealing with clients, the whole sort of finance process start to finish. You know, we were thrown in the fire, just given a phone and a few leads on a piece of paper and told to close them. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a job tomorrow. And actually, that was a really good baptism of fire. And we learned so much in a short period of time. I reckon I probably learned more in that year, maybe than a 3-year degree, I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely my architecture degree.
Certainly in business.
Nothing. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, Felicity, in a minute, we're going to take some questions because we always do this at the end of the sessions. So if anyone's got any questions, whether you're on YouTube or Mark's Facebook page or the Progressive Property Facebook page or the Progressive Property Facebook group, you can ping them in and we'll bring them up. Let me see if I've got anything else to cover. So PR. Now, I'm not talking about the PR where you pay an agency $3,000 to $5,000 a month to do nothing. There's plenty of those. I'm talking about PR stunts. So I broke the world record for the longest public speech, and I think we did about £300,000 in sales from that, and we raised around about £120,000 for the charity that we were supporting at the time. Of course, Richard Branson did the around the world in his air balloon. Elon Musk, he put his car, didn't he, on the rocket that was going out of space, his new, and he almost used it for the launch of his new Tesla sports car. My friend Al Barra has a tank, and he drove his tank into Expos when he was launching Grenade, and then he drove his tank down to Downing Street in London to hand over a petition of 600,000 signatures to open gyms. So when you start, get creative, a bit of guerrilla marketing, some PR stunts. Just try and think creatively, try and do things a little bit differently. People are getting wise now, aren't they, with TikTok videos and really smart editing on videos on Instagram and Instagram Reels, and making short, impactful, really well-edited videos, almost that look professional, but just done, you know, on an app or on their phone. So being creative, being innovative, being resourceful, these are all ways that you can bypass needing cash or bypass having to hire a load of staff by, leveraging some of the tools and the tricks yourself. Right, Felicity, ready for the questions? Oh, collaborations. Remind me to come to collaborations. Right, so this is from Rav. Do you always create an SPV for each deal you make? And is it still possible to do no money down within an SPV?
Not every deal we use an SPV for. If I was buying sort of existing properties for our portfolio, often I'll just put them into an existing company that we've got, because we just end up with a massive amount of companies. We've got enough as it is. If I'm doing a good sized development, I'll probably do it in an SPV. Is it still possible to do no money down deal with an SPV? It's no different. It doesn't change anything having an SPV or not. In that sense.
Thank you. Right. What would you recommend to do when trying to acquire a property to rent out with low credit due to young age? What about could you get someone as a mortgage?
Make guarantor.
Yeah, guarantor.
Get a guarantor.
Okay. Thank you. I have buy-to-let properties and I'm having difficulty in moving it from personal name into a limited company. Any clue?
Okay, so you really need to see an accountant about this and probably use incorporation relief, 162 incorporation relief, so that you don't have to pay capital gains tax when you transfer them. If the portfolio is big enough, you should be able to do that. If you own them with somebody else, you may be able to claim that it's a partnership and use... I'm trying to remember, is it, I think it might be section 16 of the Finance Act. So you can effectively avoid stamp duty. If you own the properties on your own in your own name, I think you may be able to put them into an LLP or a partnership for a period of time and then put them in a limited company. But you definitely need to see a good accountant to organize all that for you. Otherwise, you're stuck. You've got to pay stamp duty and capital gains tax when you transfer them.
Thanks, Inka. Okay. Have you ever got a business loan to buy a property? I can't get a personal loan as you can't buy a property with a personal loan. I can't get a buy-to-let mortgage and not manage to secure a JV yet.
Have I ever got a business loan? If you mean a commercial loan to buy a property, yes. I've used many commercial mortgages to buy properties. If you mean a business loan, I don't know, just a sort of standard loan to a business. I'm sure it can be done. It just depends on the terms of the loan. Can't get a personal loan as you can't buy property with a personal loan. That's true with most personal loans, I'd say. I can't get a buy-to-let mortgage and not manage to secure a JV yet. I think you need to sort of get some experience, look harder, get some experience, you know, sort of, or should I say your credit record needs to reflect sort of you taking out credit and paying it back, and that will help you get buy-to-let mortgages in the future.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, evening, guys, you're smashing it. Best way to structure a JV when you've run out of deposits to build your portfolio and things you need in place to be able to borrow, use their money. Not sure I understand.
Yeah, I don't
that
understand
one.
The question.
So best way to structure a JV when you've run out of deposits to build your portfolio. Let's take that part.
Use your JV partner's money to invest it in the properties. I think that's probably, yeah, that would be generally what you'd do in a JV. The JV partner would provide the cash and then you provide the sort of sweat and the knowledge and the experience.
Yeah, you source it, you manage it, you maintain it, you refurb it, you look after it, you deal with the letting agent, you deal with all of the peripheral bills and expenses and inventories and, you know, tenant changeovers if you haven't got a letting agent. You do all of that, you basically manage that, and then the partner, let's say Mark in this instance, they fund it. That's actually a very equitable JV. The person brings the money, that's about 50% equal in benefit, that's required. But of course, so is all the work. That's equal of benefit. So the most easy way to structure a JV is someone puts all the money in without mortgages is much easier and more quick. You can refinance later. And then someone else does all the work. That's just the easiest split down the line. And there are a lot of people out there who are making profits in business and want to get into property, but don't know how, want to get into property, but don't want to do the work, want to be hands-off or hands-free investors. There's lots of family members and associates you may know and people lurking, watching, observing in Facebook groups. They're all out there. I know that because I did that in 2006 with Mark, who I met at a property networking event. And of course, we see people joint venturing every day. I mean, there must be thousands of JVs done in Progressive. I just hear about it on a daily basis. All right, Jamie's question. Look at this for a hypothesis then. Tomorrow you wake up with no money, no contacts and no connections. What's your game plan to start over quickly?
I think I'd go out start trying to meet people, start trying to find deals, start trying to find JV partners. I'd go to loads of networking events, loads of sort of, you know, I'd probably go around the town and meet all the commercial agents and try and meet their customers and see all the projects that are going on and try and meet all the guys that are sort of developing the buildings locally, make friends with them and crack on, you know, from that point of view. And then use their JV cash to invest in deals.
So I'd do all of that with Mark, and I'd add to that, I'd get prolific on social media, join all the property groups on social media, put a lot of content out there, get seen and known on social media, because obviously that's the modern form of the physical sort of pounding the pavements networking that Mark and I used to do. I'd start a podcast and go and interview a load of people who I knew had money and then build them up in my contacts list that then maybe I could do deals with them later on. I've become good friends with quite a lot of my podcast guests, and they come back and do speaking gigs for me and, you know, other things like that. So I'd certainly look at building the online leverage. I'd probably start a YouTube channel and start putting content out there. And if you're just starting out, do like a diary, document what you're doing and as you're doing it, and build up your story as you go. I'd also listen to loads of podcasts, read loads of books, go to loads of seminars, try and get a mentor, try and learn from people much further ahead than me. And I think these are all the things that Mark and I did to get started anyway. So, you know, they work because they worked. All right, what have we got next? So from Pal, can I use a cash investment for a joint partnership, Irish resident?
Yes.
Next. All right. What are mortgage lenders like at the moment with holiday lets? Are they still lending?
Yeah, I think it's more difficult. Clearly, we've got this sort of pandemic ongoing, so mortgage lenders have become more cautious, but they are still lending, and there are some lenders which will lend on holiday lets. I think you probably need more of a commercial lender or a specialist broker. I did hear of a lender last week that was doing them. I can't remember the name of it. Yes, there are.
Okay, just before the next one, Felicity, I want to talk about collaborations because that was something I forgot. Right now, a joint venture would be where Mark's got the money and I'm putting the time or the sweat in, or I'm adding my value through other areas of our business that I can take on. But a collaboration would be where Mark promotes me and I promote him. I go on Mark's podcast. He goes on my podcast. I go on Mark's YouTube channel. He comes on my YouTube channel. And we grow each other's network by collaborating together on our channels or our projects. So slightly different technically from a JV where you're doing, on a JV, you're doing two completely different things to form the whole. On a collaboration, you're sharing your contacts, your experience, your knowledge and your platforms. So many people on Instagram and YouTube and podcasts, et cetera, are doing collaborations now. And it's a good way to grow your audience. You could, for example, you could appear on a podcast or a YouTube channel. And so you could say to the podcaster or the YouTube channel host, you could say, any deals that I do, I'll pay you 5% commission on, or any cash that I raise, I'll pay you some money on it. Or you could even pay a small amount of money. I know this is no money down, but no money down counts to get on other people's platforms. Of course, if we're starting to talk about low money, then you can start talking about doing Facebook ads and Google ads and YouTube ads. So I think we'll just park that part. Have we got any other questions, Felicity, before we finish? All right. So this is from someone else who asked a question before. Sorry, guys. I meant like structure, as in do you set up a company and both be directors, or borrow and put them as a first charge, or let them set up a company and you have a charge? So the structure of a JV.
Sorry, guys. I meant like structure, as in do you set up a company and both be directors, or borrow and put them as a first charge, or let them set up a company and you... I don't understand the question.
Okay. Let me ask you a different way, because when you do a joint venture, let's say me and you, you're going to put your money in and I'm going to add the value my ways.
Yeah.
Do we set up a company and both be directors?
Yeah.
Do you put the property in your name? Or, and you know, you have control over the asset and I have some kind of deal with you, like a...
No, if you set up a company, the company owns the property.
Right. So that's what he's asking. Yeah. So what you'd do is you'd set up a company together, an SPV essentially.
Yeah.
And then the company would own the property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. There you go. That's how you do it.
Cool.
Job done. All right. Can you get a buy-to-let mortgage, but you don't work?
Don't know the answer to that. I suspect it's difficult, but I don't know because I'm not a mortgage broker and I haven't looked recently, but probably quite difficult.
So in the Progressive Property Facebook community, just search Progressive Property on Facebook. You can find brokers, accountants, solicitors. They're all Progressive approved. Well, some are Progressive approved, and make sure you look out for those. So any questions around companies, you know, your lendability, and mortgages, you're best speaking to accountants and mortgage brokers because, you know, that's their professional job. All right, have we got any more? Are we good? All right. Do you have any networking events in Manchester? Yes, we do. Well, right now we don't. But a post-lockdown, yes, we do. We have Progressive Property Network, which I think there's between 25 and 30 networking events across the country. And there is a Progressive Property Network Manchester. Right now, join the Progressive Property Facebook community where everyone's networking online. But yes, there is. Cool. So I think we're good. We covered a lot in that one. So we covered starting an information business, doing joint ventures with private investors, and borrowing money for a fixed return, collaborations, leveraging social media channels, pulling off crazy stunts, deal packaging, rent to rent, lease options, a little smaller amount around e-commerce, but really relating to the information business, using your sweat equity and offering value. A lot of people underestimate their value. And as someone who started out and partnered with Mark quite soon, never underestimate your value. And if you don't know how to do it yet, go and learn it and say, I'll do that. So, you know, when Mark and I worked for in this company, I said, I'll go and do the public speaking. I said, I'll learn marketing. I said, I'll learn whatever was chucked at me. Just so that you can grab a space and have some value to add. We definitely both agree working somewhere, working for an entrepreneur or getting some on-the-ground experience will give you the knowledge required. Great. So this is the end of the series. Mark, we did it. We're at the end. We can have our Monday evenings back now. So make sure you subscribe to the Progressive Property YouTube channel. Could you put the link up again if you could find it, Felicity? tiny.cc/PPTV, all capitals, where this whole series is going to be stored. Now, we've covered how to invest $5,000, how to invest $10,000, how to invest $25,000, how to invest $50,000, $100,000, $250,000, $500,000, and low or no money down. That's 8 in the series. So go and enjoy and consume all of those.